from the word of the Lord. And we're going to do something. Today's a day of difference. We're going to do something a little bit different today. You can see our ushers are here ready to serve you. As we get ready to worship, I'm going to ask you to bring your offering today. Just go ahead and let these ushers serve you at the front. And then we're just going to enter into a time of worship. Would you lift your hands? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your bountiful blessings in our life. We thank you, Lord, for the blessed joy of this season. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you're going to give us today, God, to interact with you and with your people and with your kingdom. We give you glory, God, and we're going to come before you with praise and worship, God, giving you all the worthy praise that is due unto your name. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Let everybody say praise the Lord. Come on, as you bring your offering, would you come and adore the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
all fear.
Aren't you glad Jesus came? Anybody glad Jesus came? Amen, amen, amen. Because of that, we can come to Him boldly before the throne of grace in our time of need. There are needs all over this house today. There are families and there are marriages and there are relationships. And where there is humanity, there is need. Amen. God knows your need. Today, very specifically, we want to pray for Anthem. Anthem was, he's a young boy that was in the hospital. And we want to pray for Anthem today. Still needs a touch of God in his life. Brother Gary's brother, Greg, man, has got a health issue in his body. He needs a touch of the Lord in his body. Anybody else, you just got something. I could use the help of God going on something in my life. Maybe it's in your body. Maybe it's in your finances, your home. Do you know that God is interested in being involved with what's going on with you? Amen. Come on, would you just raise your hand? We want to pray for you today as we pray for those. Why don't you all just lift up your voice? Forget about you for a minute. Let somebody else around you pray for you. Let's call in the name of the Lord over these needs right now. Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You have been so good to us. God, you have given us, Lord, the breath of life. life. You've come, Lord, and given hope to this world. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. And Lord, we bring, Lord, our needs before you, boldly before your throne, God, believing that you're not only just able, but that you're willing and wanting, Lord, to do in our lives what needs to be done. We submit our needs, our wants, our desires, our failures, our successes. We bring them all to you today. God, we believe that as we pray that you are mighty. You're mighty to save and you're mighty to heal. In the name of Jesus, we call your name over every circumstance in this place today. God, in every hospital, with every bit of sickness, with every bit of disease, with every impossible situation, let the name of Jesus overcome it all. And let the power of the Holy Ghost minister as we pray here today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Clap your hands to the Lord if you think God is already on the move answering your prayer. Amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated today. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Man, I want to remind you of just a couple things that are coming up. Of course, next week is Christmas Eve for all of you that have not been paying attention. Next week is Christmas Eve. We'll have one service. Everybody say one service. One service at 11 a.m. Be no connect classes at 10. One service at 11 a.m. And that's our only service for the day. Somebody say New Year's Eve. Listen, the most rocking place to be on New Year's Eve is APC. Amen. We're going to have a great banquet, lots of entertainment, great food, wonderful fellowship. And for all of you that are young at heart, there's an after party at the community center that goes until I don't know when, and I won't be there. Amen. So, but here's the great news of all of it. $5 gets you in the door. That's all. Listen, you can't get a meal for $5. You can't go to McDonald's and get a meal for $5, and you definitely won't get one as good as you're going to get on New Year's Eve. Now, if you can't afford $5, see me afterwards. I'm going to pay your $5 because that's how bad I want you there. APC wants you there. It's going to be a great time on New Year's Eve. I love today. I love today and what we're going to do today. A couple weeks ago, I preached a message about giving and about interacting, about making a difference. Anybody remember at least some of that? Anybody, any difference makers in this house right now? Amen. And so over the last few weeks, we have been giving of our finances and we have been organizing. And today is the day. Today is the day where 65 families immediately surrounding our campus are going to walk into our community center and we are going to love them in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're going to give them some groceries. Yeah, there's going to be some gifts that they can give to their kids. But the greatest gift that we're going to give is the power of the Holy Ghost that's going to walk with them through this campus. Anybody excited about what's going to go on outside of this service today? Well, there's three. Let's just take a minute. Anybody excited? Expecting? Amen. Amen. I told our core team that was we were getting some instruction yesterday. I told them, I said, you know, we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to have service. But the real service that's happening tomorrow is going to happen outside the confines of this worship space. We're going to worship the Lord. I hope you feel that way. That when you serve Jesus like you're going to serve Jesus today, that it is every bit as much of worship as what you just did and will do in this worship service. That when you receive the instruction of the Lord to reach for other people, it's just as good as receiving the instruction of the preached word of God that's going to happen in this service today. Somebody say, service is going to happen here, and service is going to happen out there. Amen, amen. We're going to have a great time today on APC's campus. Let me just make one more brief announcement, and then we're going to worship the Lord a little bit more. First of all, tonight, everybody say tonight. Tonight is APC's Got Talent Christmas edition. It's going to be a great time, lots of fun, great music. I heard there's some surprises. I don't know what that means, but it makes me nervous. Hallelujah. So we'll see what's going to go on, but we're going to have a great time here tonight. It's a full day. And because of that, If you are signed up to be one of our hosts or to work in the Cedar Ridge Christmas ministry that's happening after service, if you're signed up from that, after service, directly after service, downstairs, we've got a little snack for you to kind of tide you over because we know you're going to be working a while, all right? Now, can I be kind? And I want you to feel the love as I say this. We're not having a church dinner. Okay, that's a different day. Come New Year's Eve, we're going to have a church dinner, all right? What we're trying to do is help our volunteers. And so if you want to volunteer, come on down. We'll take care of you. And you say, well, I didn't sign up. We need all the volunteers we can get. We need all the Jesus we can get today, amen? So if somehow, some way, you've missed all the communication or you forgot, you can still be a part of that. Come on down. We'll make sure that you've got a little snack to tide you over. And then we're going to minister in Jesus' name, amen? This season is about him. And it is so easy to forget it. I know that sounds cliche, but it is. Anybody got frustrated with just moving around the last week? Anybody got frustrated? I just wanted to get something to eat. And there's lines. Everything everywhere. But let me give you the advice that somebody gave me this week. You need to stop enjoying a day and realize this is a whole season. And we are here to celebrate the reason for that. And the reason for that is Jesus. It's all about everything else. It's just extra. Somebody say extra. It's extra. And thank God for the extra. But thank God that he wrapped himself in flesh and came himself. Come on, would you celebrate and worship Jesus with me today? Thank you.
a name that's above every other name. That's a name that has all authority and power. Come on, just for another minute, can you lift up the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Oh, we praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you're so worthy, Father. Oh, we give you praise. Oh, we serve a mighty God. When you start to sing about the name of Jesus, when you think of all that is involved in the name that is above every other name, you can't help but lift your hands. I know it may seem crazy to everyone else and you don't understand the worship, but if you knew what he did for me, if you knew who Jesus was to me, you would understand why I praise. Man, he's been so good. Can you give the Lord praise one more time? Can you clap your hands? Hallelujah. Lord, we give you glory. It is so good to see every one of you today, your beautiful smiling faces. But it is especially good to see Brother Paul back with us. So glad that he is here. He's been sick for a few months, but sickness can't hold you down. Glad to see you here. Man, as you can tell, I am not pastor. I've got a little bit less hair than he does and a little bit more pounds. Okay? So he is taking a little bit of a break today, and he asks, hey, do you want to preach on Sunday? We've got a Christmas series that we're doing. But he followed it up by, we got to be out by noon. So I've got about 28 minutes. I thought that was a pretty good time frame, but before service, Brother Nathan came up and told me I had 15 minutes. So somewhere along those lines is where we're going to be today. We've been going through talking about the stories of Christmas. The stories of Christmas. Stories are powerful, right? Stories are powerful things. When you hear or you read a really good story, it's easy to get lost. It's easy for it to captivate your attention. Especially this time of year, because Christmas is a season of stories. Some told, some of them watched, some of them we just observe, but stories affect us all. There's something that is in us that is drawn to a story. They entertain us, they educate us, and they make us think. See, we are natural storytellers. Have you ever been around somebody and they're just a good storyteller? As soon as they start to talk, just the way the inflection is in their voice and the descriptors that they use, it draws you into everything that they are saying. We're drawn to stories. Every interaction that we have, it turns into a story. And those stories become proof. They become evidence for you and I. Concepts are not enough. Tell me the story that describes the experience. That becomes the evidence. That's what proves it to be true. And I have to believe that God made us this way. It was not on accident, but God created us this way. He told stories. He told parables to demonstrate truth or to give examples of reality. A lot of times Jesus would say the kingdom of heaven is like. He would take this concept that we could not understand on our own and he would put it in a way that we could, because he was good at telling stories. He would provide warnings through stories. He would move people to action through stories. And that's part of why people love Christmas time so very much. Because it's a pile of seemingly random stories that come together into one story that changes everything. A story that puts on display what started on earth so that we could live abundantly. And ultimately, we could live eternally with him in heaven. God wraps himself in flesh. And he comes to live out the physical story that becomes evidence, that becomes the proof of his love for you and I. So we celebrate these stories of Christmas in our Bible. Stories, as they lower the lights, just like this one.
All right, girls, tonight we're going to read an Old Testament prophecy about Christmas and the Christ child. It comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. It says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
It's a great story, told by a great storyteller, I might add. Today we're going to talk just for a little bit on the story of his presence. There's moments in our lives, there's stories that we can go to that people tell, and you can see that they're ramping up, right? They're getting involved, they're getting engaged in the story, and they're starting to get their hands into it, and they're excited about what's coming because they're ready to deliver the punchline. They want to bring you in on the story, and it was so funny to them, and they want to share that with you, and you get to the end, and everything just kind of falls short. You ever had that? The story didn't really match the lead up. Have you ever told that story? What usually follows is that, well, you just had to have been there, right? It was much funnier in the moment. If you had only been there, you would understand why it's so funny. Your presence was required, right? God decided, looking over the landscape of humanity, looking over the sin that had separated us from him, that his presence was required, that he wasn't satisfied with the distance between us, but he wanted to be close, and so his presence was required. And we celebrate at Christmas his presence. We celebrate everything that he did when he wrapped himself in flesh, and he came down to live a sinless life, and he dwelled here to make a way that we could live eternally with him. That's what the reason for the season is all about. At least that's what it's supposed to be about, right? That's what we're supposed to celebrate. That's how we're supposed to feel, but a lot of times it gets overshadowed by the busyness of this season. Gets overshadowed by all the lines that you have to wait in just to get a sandwich. It gets overshadowed by the massive tree that your wife builds, and the lights keep going out, and so you've got to replace circuit after circuit and fuse after fuse. It all gets overshadowed by everything that's going on. Family time, there's nothing wrong with it, but it takes so much out of you, and sometimes we've just got to have our own mental space, right? There's so many things that cloud up Christmas, and probably the chief offender is presents, right? When you think of Christmas, you think of presents. You think of gifts, right? We put so much emphasis on presents. And presents represent so much more than just a gift. It is the physical things. It's the trees. It's all of the ornaments that go on there. It's the gifts themselves, the decorations, the food. And don't get me wrong, I'm not demonizing any of that. I love gifts as much as the next guy. And if you want to, I love cookies. I like cherry pie. Really, any dessert. I'm not diabetic yet, and so I'll eat it all. All right? I love presents. I love Christmas time, both to give and to get. Right? There's something satisfying about giving someone just the right present. Seeing their face light up. Now, in our family, that doesn't work because there are no surprises. We all know exactly what's under the tree, and yet it's still wrapped. Doesn't make any sense. It was a waste of time and money. But I love presents and the gifts at Christmas time. How many of you have a Christmas list? Yeah? How many of you have compiled it throughout the entire year? How many of you just put it together yesterday? That's more of me. I don't need anything, and so I've got to flounder and try to look through Amazon for something that maybe I need, because people are going to spend money anyway, so maybe I'll use this, right? Look for presents. But we put so much stock in the gifts, so much stock in the presence, the physical presence, that we lose sight of his presence, right? We wonder a lot of times, why isn't Christmas working for me? It doesn't feel the way that it should. It doesn't feel like it's a joyous occasion. It feels like a lot of hassle, and it feels like there's a lot of moving parts, and there's not a lot of peace at this time. It doesn't make sense because I've got all the presents under the tree. I've got all my family around me. The decorations are just right, so why doesn't Christmas seem to be working? Or maybe that's not you at all. Maybe you're at a place where you don't have any of those things and your family doesn't come together. And so instead of being a joyous time, Christmas just is a reminder of what you don't have. No matter what side of the fence you're on, I think we've all been in a place where it feels like this Christmas season is just a hassle. It's more than it's worth to go through this process. But my question to you, if that is your feeling today, is what is your focus truly on? Because if our focus stays on the gifts, if it stays on the people even around us, people will disappoint us, and the gifts are always going to have to be returned because it wasn't the right size. Things are going to fall short. But if your focus is on the King of Kings, if your focus is on the God of all the heavens that created everything, that came down and made a way for you and I, if your focus is on His presence, it changes everything. There should be a little bit of heaven in every single bit of our Christmas. Everything that you do. But all too often, it seems like we fit Jesus in to what's left. All of our time is spent on other things, and our schedule is so busy, and so when there is room, I'll fit Jesus in. When it comes time for Christmas Day, the main focus is going to be the gifts, right? But I'm going to read the Christmas story for about 3 minutes, and that's going to be Jesus' slot in our Christmas Day. How do we involve, how do we keep Him at the center of everything that we do? What does that look like? What does it mean to have Christmas, a little bit of heaven in our Christmas? Well, Scripture goes on and tells us, it doesn't leave us wondering, but Isaiah told you exactly what the presence of God is like. He started out by saying it's wonderful. His name should be called Wonderful, and that means so much more than just face value. He's amazing. Everything that He is, everything that He has done, He's astonishing. He's been awesome. God has been marvelous. And everything that He is wonderful. God cannot help but be wonderful. It's who He is, and all that He has done in our lives is wonderful. If it was just that He created the universe, it would have been enough. That would have been enough to call Him wonderful. If it was just that He put breath in your lungs today, that was enough to call Him wonderful. If it was just that He wrapped Himself in flesh, that's enough to call Him wonderful. You have so many reasons to call Him a wonderful God, so many reasons to give Him praise, but God did not stop there. It didn't stop in a Bible. It didn't stop 2,000 years ago, but there are stories all over this room of the wonder of God. There's stories and there's experiences all over this place of what God can do in His wonder. There's stories on this pew of chains being broken. You don't see it on the outside because it was binding them up on the inside. You would have never noticed, but God delivered them. There's families in this place that should not be together, but because there was a God that stepped in, because of His presence, now you've got a mended family. Because He has been wonderful. There's addiction that was sitting on these pews that was binding people. But because of the wonder of God, they're now sitting here in their right mind. Because He has been wonderful. And that is worth praise. He's been so good, that's worth praise. Now don't forget about what He's done. He's been too good. But God is not one-dimensional. That's what's so great about Him. It doesn't stop with just wonder. The Bible also says that He is a counselor. And man, do we ever need counsel? We look to so many sources for counsel. We look to so many different places. We look to our family to give us counsel on how to handle situations. We look to our friends to help us and guide us. And when none of that works, we go to social media because that's where the people know what they're talking about. We look for marriage advice from people whose marriages we don't want to mimic. We look for counsel on our finances from people who are drowning in debt. We look for counsel on how to handle our children from people whose kids are absolute hooligans. I have decided that I'm going to stop giving people advice because every time I think I know what's going on, I've got a handle on this parenting thing. My kids show me that I know nothing. I don't know how to handle it. And now I've got my kids that are going on 14 years old and they got attitudes. And I don't understand. So don't ask me for advice. I'm going to Facebook like the rest of you. Maybe they can help. We look to all these other sources when we have access to the presence of the greatest counselor there is. One that has the best advice that there is. He'll never steer you wrong. He'll never lead you astray. He'll never give you bad directions. How much do you need to spend on Christmas? You need the counsel of God on how much you spend. I know it's great that you give your kids the best things, but if you can't feed them the next week, that doesn't make sense. You need the counsel of God. You need to understand how to treat your children. And we need counsel in it because they will drive us nuts. They know how to push all the right buttons, and I'm reaping what I've sowed according to my father, and my kids are pushing all the right buttons, and I need counsel on how to handle them. I need counsel on how to treat my wife, because sometimes I don't treat her the best. I know you guys you're shocked, but there are times when I'm impatient. There are times when I'm just trying to get the house in order, and she shows up with a 10-foot Christmas tree that I've got to drag into the house, and it's not even Thanksgiving yet, so Christmas can't start. I've got to get counsel on how to handle my family dynamics, right? You know right now that you're going to walk into family dinner on Christmas, and Cousin Earl is going to be there, because we all have a Cousin Earl, and you know he's going to say something ignorant, because he always says something ignorant. And you know that it's going to rile you up and it's going to push your button. And you need counsel on how to handle Cousin Earl. Because how you want to handle it is not showing the love of God. The things that are going through your mind, that is not showing Jesus. So you need counsel in how to handle your family dynamics. When you have His presence, when you have everything that He is, you have access to His counsel. The Bible goes on and says that He is the mighty God. He is almighty. He holds all power and all authority. There's nothing that God cannot do. That word mighty, it means He's a warrior or He's a champion. He will fight on your behalf. When it seems like you can't fight anymore and you've tried all that you can do, my God will stand in your defense. He will fight and be the mighty God for you because He cannot lose a battle. And that would be enough to give Him praise. That would be enough just to be in His presence of the Almighty God. I mean, you look at this world, they will pay thousands of dollars just to be in the presence of greatness. Just to get into a stadium and sit up in the nosebleeds just to see their favorite athlete or just to listen to their favorite singer just so they can get close to greatness. But all the while, that person, that athlete, they will never care about you. They're never going to know your name. They're never going to care about your brokenness. They're never going to care about your family hurt. They're never going to care about the situations that you're going through, but you just want to be close to greatness. But you have the presence of Almighty God. Greater than any athlete. Greater than any musician. Greater than anyone that you can find. You've got the King of Kings. And you've got the Lord of Lords. And if it was just getting close, that would be enough. But God does not just want you close. He wants relationship. It doesn't stop with just being a mighty God. It says that He wants to be the everlasting Father. He wants relationship with us. See, I had the greatest example of what, man, I was doing so good. I'm not going to cry. I had the greatest example of what being a great father is. And he didn't even pay me to say this. He showed me what it means to be a godly man. And he showed me what it means to treat your kids well and to put God first, but to bring your family along with you. He showed me how to live this life. I was shown what it means. I never wanted for anything. Even though there was a lot of things that should have been taken away, just kept giving and kept giving. I never had any Christmas or any birthday or anything that I asked for. They said, you know what, not this year. I don't think, he worked harder and he got everything that I needed. And all along the way, he taught me lessons. It wasn't just gifts, but he taught me while he did it. For my high school graduation, my dad gave me this great gift. See, he was unsure that I was going to graduate. So he waited until the last minute to get the graduation gift. And so he goes out and he buys me my very own truck. I loved that truck. It was the ugliest purple color. It was a tiny little truck. So many issues. Nothing worked. I loved that truck. And he used this as an opportunity to teach because he is a great teacher. He knew exactly what he was doing because he knew that I lacked patience. And so not only did he give me a vehicle, but he also wanted to instill patience in me. How do you do that with a truck? Well, I'll tell you, I spent a whole lot of time on the tailgate waiting for someone to pick me up. Spent a lot of time on the side of the road because fuses were blown. And so I learned very quickly to get patience. There was a date that I went on with my beautiful wife, and she was tired of seeing me. Like, we had been together for like 3 hours. She just wanted to go home. And so we leave the restaurant, and I go to start the car, and nothing happens. So you keep doing it. Like, it's going to magically start. And I decided quickly that this wasn't going to happen, so I called my dad and said, hey, you're going to have to come pick me up. It's the most embarrassing date of my life. And so we had to sit there for 2 hours or so on the tailgate in Fazoli's parking lot when she didn't want to see me anymore. She just wanted to go home. But I learned patience because I don't know about you, I have a good father. He taught me. I say it all in jest, but he gave me everything I wanted. He helped me along the way. I can't even describe to you how great my dad has been in my life. And the Bible goes through and talks about a good father. It says, if you as a parent, if you want good things for your children, this brings on a whole new weight now that I'm a father myself. I realize that there is nothing I would withhold from my children. I would give them the world if I could. And that beautiful little girl, when she comes up and says, Daddy, she has those eyes. She's so manipulative. Daddy, I really just want a dollhouse. It's like magic. Credit cards fall out of my pocket. I understand it now as a parent that I want good things for my kids. But the Bible says in Luke 11:11, if a son asks for bread of his father, would you give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, would you give him a serpent? Or if he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? No, you wouldn't do any of that because if you as a father, right, you want to give your kids good things. You want to help your children. You want to bless your children. You want to see them succeed. And if you want to do that with all the sin in your life, with all the flesh, with everything that you are, then how much more would your heavenly Father, how much more so would an everlasting Father want you to have good things? It says he wants to give you the Holy Spirit to anyone that asks. God wants to give you his presence more than a gift, more than a season, more than just moments at a table, more than just being fit into a schedule. He wants to give you his presence. Not only does he have all power, not only does he have all authority, but he wants relationship with you, and he wants to give you good things. The last thing that Isaiah says is that he is a prince of peace. If we were ever in a time where we needed peace in our world, it is now. If we were ever in a moment where we needed the peace of God, it'd be in this season that we are in. Mental health is at an all-time low. And it seems like it gets worse the Christmas season, that it's supposed to be a joyous occasion, but it seems like everything falls apart at once. We have battles in our mind and our families, our marriages. It seems like things aren't going how we planned, let alone the state of the world right now. And if you focus on all of the things around you, if you spend your time and your effort looking at the landscape of what's going on, it can become overwhelming. It can seem like a lost cause if you're looking around you. But understand that if you have the presence of God, if your focus is not on your landscape and your focus is on your Savior, if you're really looking at the real reason for the season, it changes everything. It changes how you feel and it changes your mind. There is peace that is in the presence of God. The Bible calls it peace that passes all understanding. That means that it doesn't even make sense. I know that you're going through all of hell right now, and I know that you're facing battles, and I know that your family dynamics are all out of whack. But if you have the presence of God, it doesn't even make sense that you've got the peace that you do. It doesn't make sense that you can smile in spite of all that's happening. But when you've got His presence, when you've got the presence of God, that's enough for you to give Him glory. It gives you peace that passes all understanding. And the greatest story ever told, the God of all of the universe chose to come down and be present with you and I. Not just to leave us alone. Not to leave us in sin where we had every reason. He had every reason to leave us where we were at. But He chose to be here with you and with me. And with His presence comes everything that is in it. It comes all of the wonder that is in His presence. It comes all of the counsel that is in His presence. It comes the mighty power of God. It comes the relationship of a father. It comes the peace that passes all understanding. We need the presence of God in this place. We need the presence of God in this season. And it's His desire to be with us. Let's all stand together. I've got a simple message today. Everything that you do, everything that this season represents to you, I don't know what your schedule looks like, but you do have a schedule. I don't know what your family gathering is going to look like, but you are going to gather. The challenge is this: let's not fit Jesus into the box that we leave. Let's not give Him the leftovers in this Christmas season. But instead, let's put Him at the center of everything that we do. In this next week, you're going to go through and you're going to have interactions. You're going to tell stories everywhere that you go. Are you telling the story of Jesus? Are you sharing His wonder? Are you sharing His counsel? Is His presence going with you where you go? Because His desire is that there is a little bit of heaven in every part of your season. Today, I wonder if you could take just a few moments. I think it'd be appropriate if you're with your family that you bring your family up. And we turn everything back to Him. It's so easy to get bogged down with this season. Everything that's happening around. But together, as a church family, let's put Him back in the center. Let's make His presence our priority. Can we do that today? Why don't you step out of your seat, come to the front, bring your family with you. Let's worship Him one more time as they sing. Let's give Him glory. Let's allow the presence of God to to wash over everything that we do.
Second. Can you lift your hands and sing that one more time? Come on, let's go there into his presence. Take me
to the holy place.
Right where I am, Jesus.
Lord, I bow,
Lord.
At your throne of grace.
In your presence.
In your presence so sweet.
Lord, I kneel at
your feet.
Take me to the holy place,
my Lord.
Take me to the holy place. Come on now, cry out with a desire from your heart. My soul. Presence of the Lord. Come on, sing with me.
In the presence of the Lord.
That's where.
In the presence.
That's where you're going to find Christmas. Come on.
That's where you'll find everything that you need.
When you seek his face.
When you seek his face.
That's when he draws near.
He'll draw near to us. In the presence of a holy God.
Come on, let's adore him in his presence right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I feel the peace of the Lord in this house. The peace of the Holy Ghost that passes all understanding. Thank you, Jesus. Now let me tell you, what you feel right now is what you need to take with you across the street. Did you hear me? The Lord's getting ready to minister to people that are not in this sanctuary. And he's going to do it through your hands, your voice, your feet. And so the Lord says, this is the presence that you feel on a consistent basis and that you know of. And you're going to walk with people that don't know how you feel. And so it is on you today to show them him. You don't realize or not, but every one of you that are going to work here today are going to give a gift. You're going to give a gift. Brother Bradley preached an awesome message. Talk about gift giving and how we wrap the wrong things up, right? We wrap the wrong things up. We wrap our traditions, and he already preached all that, but we wrap it. We said, Lord, please bless it. Please, we wrap everything up with Jesus, and Jesus says, no, for a little while today, we're going to do the opposite. I need you to wrap everything up around him and make him the gift today. Amen? You're about to make Jesus the gift. Would you pray with me, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord? God, we have such a great blessing to bestow on everybody we're going to come in contact with today. God, they don't know what we know. They don't feel what we feel. They don't understand what we understand. So, Lord Jesus, in the best way that we can, with our finite ways and resources and minds and interactions, we pray that you would do what we cannot. Well, we do not know what to do, God. We pray that you would orchestrate the words that we don't have in our vocabulary and the feelings and the direction that we don't understand in and of ourselves. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would let the Holy Ghost come down on us right now. We sense your presence. Let it not die at the end of this service, but let it, God, consume us and let it go with us as we cross this street, Lord. And we engage, God, the people you are reaching for in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God is going to do a great work today. Thank you so much for being in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Brother Bradley, for that word. God is a good God. We're going to have a great day. There's going to be a great concert here tonight. Great midweek. Great Christmas Eve next week. We're going to have a great week. God bless you. Go and let's serve Him outside of this sanctuary. God bless you. Go in Jesus' name.